Hello, my name is Emmanuel, and today I'll be reading Luke 12 from verses 22 through to 31. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, they have no barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to your life? Since you could not do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well."
Well, we're thinking today about the title, Living with Less Worry. I actually came across a Christian book called Living Without Worry. But I thought, Living Without Worry, that's a lot to promise. And I wonder how you react when you hear that kind of thing. Christian books often do it. This one is called A Step-by-Step Guide Away from Fear and Anxiety. This one, Finding a Path to Freedom, the Worry Book. They're good books, all of them. But I guess you might react to that and say, well, that's promising a lot, living without worry. Is that what Christians are expected to be able to do? Jesus said in our reading, do not worry. And some might say, well, does he really get it? Does he understand mental health? Does he understand that sometimes we don't have any control over the thoughts that keep coming to us and the way that we feel, and we just wish we could? If we could simply switch it off, then we would. And sometimes we may feel, well, does Jesus really get it? Does he understand what we're going through in our lives? Does he understand how difficult the situation is at the moment with the virus? And I guess worry at the moment, particularly today, we're hearing about the government's steps to ease restrictions and to try and restart the economy. And a lot of us will be concerned about that. And we have got a lot to be concerned about. We are not sure what's going to happen with our jobs. Some may be on furlough, but how long will that scheme continue? Some may be wondering, how will their business restart? Will it be able to recover? How easy will it be for people to get out there to shops or pubs or restaurants or schools? Even those of us who know that our jobs are safe may be wondering, well, how will we actually do them? And is it workable? And how long will it take for these things to recover? And in the meantime, what will be the effect? Will we have enough to get by? You can watch the news and you can see economic forecasts and you can see there's a lot of uncertainty and lack of clarity. And so some may say, well, Jesus says, do not worry, but does he get it? And of course, if you've come to know Jesus, you'll know that he really does get it, that he understands the way that we think and feel better than we do. And he knows what's in our hearts. And he's speaking to disciples. He's speaking to people who are facing a tough situation. If you were here in the last few Sundays, you'll know that Jesus is speaking to his followers and warning them, look, you're going to die. You're going to be put to death. You're going to be put on trial for being a Christian, for preaching the Christian message. Already they had the Pharisees, the religious leaders, giving them a hard time for what they were saying. And Jesus has been saying, look, more of that is to come. But even so, he says, don't worry. And he says that it is possible to promise too much, to expect an instant, easy solution to worry. And that's not what Jesus is saying. But it's also possible to expect too little. And Jesus is helping us. He's saying these things not to condemn us, but to reassure us. And he's giving us a real help to find a way out of worry, to live with less worry. So it's really worth looking at together. Jesus, I think in this section that we had read from us from Luke chapter 12, he's got two themes. The first is living with less worry by knowing your Father. And the second is living with less worry by knowing your focus. Knowing your Father, knowing your focus. Knowing your Father mainly from the first half of what he's saying, but not entirely. Knowing your focus mainly from the second half of what he's saying, but not entirely. We're going to dot around in this Bible reading together. I'd love you to have it open in front of you. I think you'll find that really helpful. Don't worry if you haven't got quite the same translation that I'm using. But I think looking at his words can really help us in this whole area of worry. So let's start with the first part then. Living with less worry. Just notice how that theme runs right the way through what Jesus is saying here. Verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Verse 25, "Who of you by worrying?" Verse 26, "Why do you worry?" Verse 29, "Do not worry about it." And then verse 32, "Do not be afraid," very similar. So all the way through, Jesus is showing us how to not worry. And he's had a lot to say about knowing your Father. And the first thing he says about that is if you really want to wrestle with worry and to learn to know your Father better and trust him more, then start by taking a look outside. So we're going to do that now. Well, Jesus says, if you want to understand your Father, come outside and listen. He says, consider the ravens, consider the birds. In verse 24, he says, consider the wildflowers. In verse 27, well, I can hear some birds, which is great. Normally, we can't hear them as much, but at the moment, without so much traffic noise, it's really great to hear them. I don't know if you've noticed that when you've been outside, but it's Jesus says, think about them. And they don't have bank accounts. They don't store up everything they need. They don't gather in possessions to keep themselves safe for the long term. And yet God provides for them and fills the trees with birds. And I can hear that they're there at the moment. And then Jesus says, consider the flowers, the wildflowers in the grass. Well, there's a lot of wildflowers in our grass. I haven't got around to cutting it recently. And they spring up pretty quickly and pretty easily on their own. They don't have to be planted, and yet they are pretty impressive. I mean, pretty intricate, and that's pretty good design, isn't it? I mean, the flowers don't go to Next, they don't go to Marks and Spencer's, they don't go shopping for the latest fashion and the nice designs, and yet God is able to make something pretty spectacular just spring up out of the grass. And if God has that level of care for this grass, and Jesus says it's here today and gone tomorrow, well, that's if I get around to cutting the grass, it might be here for a bit longer than that, but it's certainly quickly gone. And yet God cares enough to make it beautiful and clothe it. And how much more will he care and clothe for you? Because this is God, the God of nature, the creator, caring for what he's made. But if you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're much more than that. You have God as a heavenly Father who you have a relationship with as his child, and he will provide for you what you need. Chapter 12, verses 29 to 32. Let's just look at those more closely. "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." Just notice that. Your Father knows that you need them. "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." That's the promise. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Just see the emphasis there on knowing your Father. As we look at nature, we get to know our Father better. But the God who created the universe, the God who looks after nature, is the God that these Christians have come to know as their Father. And you may think, well, perhaps God is the Father of everything that he made. But that's not how Jesus speaks about it. It's not how the Bible speaks about it. We belong to his world, and he is king of that world. But all of us disobey and rebel against God, and we try to be in charge of our own lives, and we reject God and push him away as king. And the result is that we're very distant from him. And yet God in his love sent Jesus into the world to restore us to that kingdom, to offer us complete forgiveness and love and acceptance because Jesus died for us, and to say, look, come and belong to that kingdom. Come and join it. Come and let God be your king in this life and in the next life as well. When God puts the world right, when he makes things perfect and good again, you can belong to that kingdom eternally and never be lacking in anything. And when God gives people that kingdom, he also makes us his children. Jesus is the Son of God and God is his Father. And we receive Jesus and God becomes our Father as well. We're adopted into his family, included in his family. We become sons and daughters of the King. And we receive that kingdom as a gift. And that's why Jesus is saying to the disciples, those who follow Jesus, those who know Jesus, he's saying to them, look, the God who cares about nature is also the God who is your Father. Don't you think that he'll provide for you? And just look again at verse 32, wonderful words. Do not be afraid. Very tender and gentle words that Jesus says. Do not be afraid, little flock. There may not be many of them. They may be vulnerable and weak and frail. His little group of disciples with the authorities that were going to be persecuting them. But they are a little flock that God cares about. Jesus says, your Father. He's your Father now, as well as mine. Your Father has been pleased. He is delighted. He is very happy to give to you and loves to give to you. And look how much he's given you already. He's been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's been pleased to say, you know, welcome into this kingdom, and it is yours to enjoy forever, eternally, restored and perfect with the best thing of all about this kingdom, of course, is the King and knowing him. Well, Jesus is saying, look, if God gives you so much, if God has given you so much as a Christian, don't you think that he will also provide what you need? Yes, the time will come when it's time for you to be with him forever in that kingdom and to die and be with him. But in the meantime, he will give you everything you need. That loving Father, that powerful Father, he is able to give us whatever we need whenever he chooses. And he will give us whatever we need when that is good for us, when that is good for our souls. It's not a promise that there'll be no difficulties in this life. Jesus has been very clear about that. There may be times when we go without, but it is a promise that we always have a loving Father who is only doing what is for our very best. More than able, more than willing to provide. So don't worry. And perhaps there's something about worry that is often about self-reliance. Not only do we forget how much our Heavenly Father loves us and who he is, but we forget how little we can do about it. And we rely on ourselves. And Jesus says, look, focus on your Father, not on yourself. Because verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? It's a very good point, isn't it? God will take us when the time is right. We can't delay that even by an hour. So why do we worry about all the other things? That all the things that are beyond our control, that are only in his control, why worry about them? Jesus says that there's so little that you can do. Do what you can. He's not saying abandon all responsibility for everything. I mean, he's talked about the birds. Well, they go and get their food. We do what we can do. But he's saying, don't worry about the things that we can't do. You may remember last Sunday, I think it was, I spoke to Catherine and she was showing us this fried egg diagram that looks a bit like that. And there's a part of our lives in the centre that we are able to control and we are responsible for. If we've got a job, then we should do what our employer is asking us to do. and we should work hard. There are errands that we can run. There are things that we can do. If we have finances, then we need to make wise decisions about how to spend those and how much to save. And there are things that we can do. And those are our responsibility under God. But there's a much bigger area around the outside here that we have no control over. We don't know how long this virus will affect us. We don't know what the implications will be for our lives. We don't know what will happen with business. And we could spend a lot of time trying to puzzle that out in our heads, trying to see a way through. But God is saying, no, that's with me. That area is me. And I'm a loving, all-powerful Father, more than able to do everything that is needed and everything that is good. Focus on what you can do. Trust God with what you can't do. So how then do we deal with worry? Well, first of all, by knowing your Father. And we're going to spend some time reflecting on that. We've got a song. You might want to join in with the song. You might want to just listen and think about the words. But let's ask for God's help to know our Father better, because that really will help us as we struggle with worry. Well, we've thought about living with less worry by knowing your Father. And we're going to think now about living with less worry by knowing your focus, by knowing your direction. What are you focused on? What is your heart set on? The things that we worry about tell us something about what is going on in our hearts. And that can be really helpful. Now we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about that. Look again at how he starts in chapter 12, verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For," so there are reasons, therefore, at the beginning, for at the end. Jesus is giving reasons not to worry. This isn't just something he says out of the blue. What are the reasons? Well, he's looking back at what he's just been saying. If you were here last Sunday, you know that someone in the crowd who is probably not a disciple, but someone in the crowd wanted help securing their finances for the future. They wanted Jesus to sort that out for them and help them with that. And Jesus gave them a little proverb. He says, look, that's not what life is about. Do you see that in chapter 12, verse 15? Life, the end of verse 15, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he's saying the same thing now in verse 23. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Jesus is saying, look, how are you going to stop worrying? Well, remember what life is, what it's for, what it's about. You see, for the pagan society then and for the atheist world now, life is just about stuff. I mean, if you don't believe there's a God, and if you don't believe there's a human spirit, and if you believe all we are is physical bodies in a material physical world, then there is nothing to live for but stuff, things, possessions. And so we live in a very materialist way in our society. The big focus at the moment is on two things. It's on saving lives, because our physical bodies are thought to be all we have. And it's on saving the economy. Now, it's good reasons for saving lives and saving the economy. There's a good things to do. But there's more than that. Life is not about that. That's not enough. There's much more going on than that. What is there? Then what is the thing that Jesus has in mind that life is really about? Well, he spells that out in these verses we were looking at in a moment ago. Let's put them on the screen again. Have a look at them. Verse 29, 30, 31, 32 are talking about the kingdom. Verse 31, seek his kingdom. Verse 32, he's given you the kingdom. That's what life is really about. And Jesus says, be careful what you're focused on. Do you see how it starts there? Verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. See, worrying about something shows you've got your heart set on it. Verse 30, the pagan world runs after all such things. That's what they have their heart set on. They're chasing after it. They're pursuing material possessions. Instead, as a Christian, verse 31, instead of that, seek his kingdom. Pursue and chase after something different, the kingdom of God, because that is much more lasting. That is much more eternal. That is what life is really for, to know God as our Father, to have him as our King, to meet him face to face at the end of our lives. That is our goal. That is our purpose. God will provide what we need in the meantime. But the real aim of our lives is not our material possessions here and now. It is our eternal relationship with God and the eternal kingdom that he's bringing about. But how do we do that? It's not easy, is it? You can't just suddenly decide you're going to stop worrying and that you're going to start focusing more. You won't just change overnight. But Jesus gives us at least one way that we can switch our hearts, that we can work. It won't happen suddenly. It won't happen easily. But he's saying, look, make conscious decisions that help you to seek the kingdom and stop you from worrying about stuff, from worrying about your health and your future and your jobs and your possessions and your education. How can we do that? Well, here's one thing we can do in verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. That might sound surprising. Jesus is not saying it is wrong for Christians to have possessions. He's not saying sell your possessions and make yourself poor. He's really addressing all the way through this chapter, he's addressing that problem that we have, that we think we can store up possessions and that we can keep ourselves safe in that way. Like the guy in the story that he was telling last Sunday, who built bigger and bigger barns so that he could store more and more things so that his future would be safe. And Jesus says, well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That kind of treasure, verse 33, will wear out. Thief will come near, moths will destroy. Jesus could have added the virus might cause a lockdown and wipe out the value of a lot of that wealth and undermine that business and take away that employment. That's what happens to stuff. That's what happens to treasure in this world. So Jesus says that if you're kind of clinging onto it too much, let go of it. Loosen your grip on it. Sell some of it. And instead of keeping the possessions for the future, sell it, liquidate that capital, use that for things that please God. Use it to help those who really are poor, those who don't have food and clothing to get by. You know, when we go shopping, fill up the food bank trolley, and not just your trolley. You know, how many loo rolls, how much flour do we need to buy? Let's buy some and give it to the food banks. Use it in ways that please God and ways that God loves. Why are you doing that? Well, because it will change your heart. Do you see which way around the logic is in the final verse, verse 34? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, look, if you've got a problem with your heart, we all have. If you worry too much about possessions and finances and health, well, we all do. Here's what you can do, Jesus says. Actually, take actions and your heart will follow. Make conscious decisions to invest in what you want to care about, and you will start caring about that thing. Where your treasure is, your finances, your wealth, your possessions, your money, what you do with that, well, that will take your heart with it. There your heart is also. Well, this lockdown situation, this economic challenge that we're all facing could be a wonderful opportunity for all of us to reassess our priorities. For those who've never really considered Jesus or following him and never taken that seriously or never fully taken that step, now is the time when we can really focus on that. And for those of us who have been aiming to follow Jesus but still finding ourselves full of worry, well, this is an opportunity to reassess and to get our focus that bit clearer. How is an opportunity? Well, the shops are closed. There's something great about that, something sad about that, but something good about it. In times gone past, we built massive cathedrals. In previous generations, to places of worship. Now we build massive shopping centres and worship in those, and vast crowds gather there every weekend. But they're empty right now. The crowds are not there. The shop doors are closed. normally we're constantly bombarded with advertising slogans that are trying to convince us that we need more stuff and that our heart should be set on that stuff and that that is going to make us happy. Let me give an example of a few slogans that I've heard about recently. Buy me, I'll change your life. Very brazen. Or this one. I shop, therefore I am. Or you might say Tesco, ergo sum. Or this one. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's our culture. That's the air that we breathe. It's like passive smoking. You just take it in and absorb it. And it will lead to worry. Will lead us to set our hearts on that. And for the moment, we've got a bit of a break from that. Not so much advertising. Not so much shopping. We've actually started to value the people who provide just the very basics in life. The key workers, the people who deliver things in their vans, who stock shelves in supermarkets, who clean hospitals and work as nurses, the people who never really got paid much or valued very much by society, and suddenly we're standing outside on Thursday evenings and applauding them, and rightly so, because we're reassessing what matters, and we're seeing that we don't need as much stuff as we thought. Just the basics. To get by, we still get very distressed and troubled when something is missing in the supermarket that we're used to having, but we still have a vast range of riches that are available to us at the moment. What a great time to reassess our priorities. Of course, we stand to lose a lot over the coming months and years. And it may be that some of us won't carry on in the same high-powered job that we were before. It may even be that some of us will have to downsize our lifestyle, perhaps even downsize our home, live somewhere smaller, cut back on our education or take it more slowly, and not really be living the life or having the status that we had. But no one can take away from us what really matters. Our identity need not be in those things. Our identity is someone loved by a Heavenly Father, provided for with everything that we need, receiving his eternal kingdom. And no one can take that away from us. If that is where our hearts are, if that is what we're seeking, if that is our real treasure in life, then that is safe. It is sure. It's guaranteed. So let's work on that. Let's invest our treasure. Let's work on living a life with less worry by getting to know our Heavenly Father better and by changing our focus and having that focus on where it really always should have been, on the eternal kingdom of God and our place there. But I'd love to hear your questions. I'm hoping you've perhaps been typing some on YouTube chat. If you've got access to that on the device that you're using, I'd love to hear a question about the sermon, about the passage, or a thought about how this might apply to us, how Jesus's words apply to us today. I'd love to hear that. If it's easier for you, you can send an email and I'll check my emails, I'd love to help answer those. I'm going to pray now for us. Father, we pray for your help. We all struggle with worry. Sometimes it's severe, sometimes it's mild, it's often there. And we pray, Father, for your help. We pray that we might know you better and really trust you fully as a loving Father who is all-powerful and pleased to give us your kingdom and promising to give us all that we need. And we pray that we would change our focus, that our hearts would be more fully set on that eternal kingdom, that we would be seeking that, and that you'd help us to take concrete steps and concrete action to let go of some of the possessions that we've been trusting in, and instead to trust more fully and focus on you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.